I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua, the third chapter. Joshua 3. You know, coming to a new year is like going to a new place. We're looking at a year that's going to be full of new experiences, new people, and new opportunities. I'm looking forward to doing more in 2024. That rhyme works out pretty well. Julie has it in the bulletin. And I will be mailing the bulletin to those of you that can't make it here this morning, so you will be getting it. But one of the great examples of this is in the incidents of the Israelites going into the Promised Land. And it's interesting because Joshua says to the people, we've never gone this way before, but God is with us. And here we are, folks. Satan's taking a whack at us. And we got a new year coming. That sounds good. Well, there's some things you don't want to turn off. So, anyway. So, our biblical example is the Israelites going to the Promised Land. And in Joshua 3 and in verse 1, the Bible says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set up from Shittim and went to Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. This was a new experience for Israel. Can you imagine? They've been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they're confronted with a radically new situation. One that none of them, well, maybe two of them, but the majority of them had never experienced. And there were some things that happened with them that are, I think, a good lesson for us. One thing is that Israel prepared themselves for the journey ahead. You know, the past is always a part of preparation. Israel had spent 40 years traveling. Let me tell you something, folks. Travel gets old. Amen, brother?
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, I spent 40 years going through O'Hare Airport every single weekend. I got sick and tired of travel. And Garrett's the same way. How long have you been doing this? 30 years. Well, you're catching up. Travel gets old. And all the unbelievers had died. You know, people who hold back the Lord's work will eventually die. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I've been in congregations where the only way they ever got going was for a few people to die. People that were holding back the Lord's work. And in spite of that, God had provided them. He had provided food, the manna. He had provided drink, water, hitting rocks to get water at one point. He had provided direction. The cloud, the Shekinah glory. We talked about that when we talked about the Star of Bethlehem. And they had gone through the two spies who came back with a report that trusted in God. You know, everybody wants a place to live. Right? They want security. I think one of the tragedies of both Gaza and the Ukraine is that people who just wanted security, innocent people, just wanted a place to live. We take that for granted. Somebody bombed my house, what would I do? It's hard to put ourselves in the place of some of our brothers and some of our family and some of our friends who have never had a place to live, nothing they're familiar with. And Shittim was not their home, but it was a nice place. It was on the Jordan River. So it was easy for them to say, let's just stay where we are. There are people in the church who say, hey, let's just stay where we are. And God has never been happy with people who were happy with the status quo. We have to grow. We have to change. We have to be people who are adventurous, who are willing to set out for something new. Before starting their journey, they lodged. The word lodging involves considering the past, learning from mistakes. Have we made mistakes as a congregation? Yeah. Have I made mistakes as an individual? Oh, yeah. What we have done that was wrong in the past needs to be addressed. We don't want to repeat history. But Israel was resolved to follow God's guidance. Joshua 3, verses 2 through 4. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest who are the Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. Since you have never been this way before, but keep a distance of about 100 yards between you and the ark. And the ark is the Ark of the Covenant. You can read about that in Exodus chapters 25 and 26. It had history. It had the manna. It had the budding rod of Aaron. It was a place to meet God. A holy thing led, not the politicians, not the people who were the naysayers. And if you wondered why that 1,000 yards was in there, that was so nobody would have their view blocked, they would all see the ark. They would all see God's leadership. Listen, folks, we are to be resolved to follow God's guidance. I always like that passage in John 21, 23, where Peter does the very human thing. Jesus told Peter what was going to happen to him. And what was Peter's response? What about that guy? Pointing to John. And Jesus says to him, what is that to you? You follow me. You know, we can't look at our religious neighbors. We can't look at those that are doing things differently than we do it. That's not our concern. I'm not going to pass judgment on people that are doing things differently than we do it. As long as they're doing something. But Jesus said to Peter, you follow me. And you know Peter's history. You know, we tend to be like Peter when Jesus was crucified. You remember Luke 22, 54? They took Jesus and they led him and brought him to the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Is that what you're doing? I mean, I'm asking individually, is that what I'm doing? Do I want to follow afar off? I don't want to get too involved. I have to look at that. I'm looking at a new year. Am I going to follow afar off or am I going to be involved? How about you? And so what happened with Israel was they were called to consecrate themselves. Joshua 3, verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. The word concentrate means to set yourself apart, to get clean. In the old days, back at the time of Israel, touching the ark made somebody clean. Exodus 29, verse 37. Yeah, that would be kind of nice when you think about it. If all I have to do is to touch something and I'm clean, ooh. But you know, that's exactly what just happened here. We touch the blood of Christ, and it makes us clean. Sometimes I don't think we emphasize enough the importance of the fruit of the vine. The blood of Christ continually washes us away from our sins. Revelation 1, verse 5, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Hebrews 9, verses 22 and 23, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And I love 1 John 1, 7. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us, active verb, from all sin. Isn't that important? Isn't that critical to understand that we in and of ourselves have no capacity to be cleansed, but the blood of Christ, if we're a Christian, cleanses us from all sin. Somebody says, oh, I've done too much bad stuff. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You read the recordings of the followers of Jesus, like Thomas and Peter. Did they do bad stuff? Yeah. It always interests me that Peter in the Bible, over and over again, we see his mistakes. You know, it wasn't just the denial of Christ when Jesus was crucified. Later on, Peter didn't get on board with the disciples as they went to you and me, to the Gentiles. Peter made lots of mistakes. But the blood of Christ continually cleanses him and us from all sin. And so, being consecrated, Israel walked by faith. And what happens? Let's read it. Joshua 3, starting with verse 6. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Verse 8. And you will command the priest to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you have come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. You understand what he's telling the priest? Walk into the river. This is in the springtime. The river is a raging torrent. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, verse 9, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Verse 10. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from among you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and all the Amorites and the Jebusites. Verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, verse 12, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. So all 12 tribes are going to be represented. And it shall come to pass that as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord, the God of all earth, shall touch the waters, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan will be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Can you imagine that? You know, if I was Israel at that point, I'd say, really? Have you seen rivers in flood stage? That's what's going on here. And God is saying to Israel, guess what? The waters are going to be piled up. That river is going to be stopped cold. And the skeptics in Israel would say, yeah, sure, tell me another one. Verse 14. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant went before the people. Verse 15. They that bear the ark would come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. In other words, they're just barely stepping into the water. For the Jordan overflows all its banks at this time of harvest. Verse 16, that the waters that came down from above stood and rose up on a heap very far from the city. That is, Adam, behind Zeratin, tells the location. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the peace passed over against Jericho. Verse 17, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Let me tell you something, folks. Crossing the Red Sea was a miracle, but crossing a raging river is even a greater miracle. It's easy to say, well, they're crazy, but the water stops. Are we consecrated? Individually, are we consecrated as a congregation? You know, we become consecrated by becoming Christians. That doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we're any better than anybody else. But it does mean that God acts in ways we couldn't do on our own. I'm amazed at what this congregation has been able to accomplish. How, with such small numbers, so much good has been done. I think Satan's hitting us hard because Satan is scared. He knows we're not going to be stopped. He knows that we're a remnant, and remnants fight. And he knows that God will act when we have reached our limit. I couldn't help this morning thinking, as Richard was up here leading singing, something's working in Richard this morning. It wasn't there a week ago. If you'd asked Richard a week ago, can you lead singing? I think he'd have probably said, no, I don't think I can do that. He did a wonderful job. God acts when we do the things we are told to do by Christ. Have you thought about what's happened in the last couple of weeks? The coat giveaway. How did that happen? How could we be there at just the right time with just the right thing to supply the needs of people that were hit with a catastrophe? You think that was an accident? How could we have our maximum food giveaway when Uncle Sam has cut off our supply? We're prepared. I hesitate to use this one, but I just want to point it out to you. For 41 years, I left every Friday and went somewhere and did a lectureship. When COVID came, I thought, man, I'm done. I can't do lectures anymore. Congregations won't back me up. They can't. There's quarantines. There's all kinds of reasons why we can't do lectureships anymore. That had been my life's blood. And I sat down at my computer and I thought, what am I going to do? And then I got an email that said, can you supply material on your website for these folks that have a need to hear how we can know there is a God? I thought, sure. And the day that I decided I couldn't do public lectureships, our email volume went from 12 a week to 1,000 a day. That happened instantly. You say, well, that's a happy coincidence. Come on. I mean, we'd been on the web. We're one of the oldest websites in existence. Lyle Linden got us on the web back in the 70s. And we puttered along all these years. God acts. But he goes where we are and takes us to where we could be. And what we can do for ourselves, God does not do. So here we go. We're looking at 2024. What are we going to do? Well, we got some stuff planned. We got some thoughts. We got some ideas. What's to stop us? If God is with us, nobody can be against us. Can we expand our food pantry stuff? We say, well, man, we got too many people, not enough money. Oh, yeah? I look at Willard sitting here. He's funded a great deal of what we're doing. We haven't begun to tap our resources. We got people. I got a call. I'm trying to think when it was. Was it yesterday or the day before? From a guy in Indianapolis that wants to send a donation to us for our food pantry. I said, how do you know about our food pantry? Well, I know a guy that's name is Harris Savage. Apparently, it's our Harris Savage's brother who told him about our food pantry. God works in mysterious ways. So, look up. The fields are ripe unto harvest. We enter a new year with great hope, with great promise, with great prosperity in what we do. And Richard has picked a song. Richard, I'll lead it so you don't need to get up, okay? Are you okay getting up? Richard's back there doing this, and I don't want him to overextend himself. But look at number 255. I am resolved no longer to linger charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. And how do we do that? Look at the chorus. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. What a great song to start a new year on. What a great way to be reminded of what is potentially available to us. So let's sing number 255 together as we close our lesson this morning.